News Radio 1070, WINA. Neil Bortz at 10. Rob Schilling at 1. Bill O'Reilly at 2. Charlottesville right now with Coy Barefoot at 4. Best seat in the house with Jay James at 6. This is the WINA Morning News with Rick and Jane. News Radio 1070, WINA.
It is 11 minutes after 9. Again, sunshine and 75, as you heard. Right now, it's still just 52 degrees in Charlottesville. Beautiful, but very crisp fall morning.
It's here perfect. In Central
it's
Virginia.
Perfect. Tom Perriello, the Democratic candidate for the House of Representatives, is joining us this morning. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well. Good job pronouncing my name.
I tell you, it's everybody understands now if you go, have you heard of that Tom Perriello guy? You know, or you've really made some inroads with kind of making fun of yourself, you know. It's I want to jump right into this, okay? The economy is the first thing on everybody's mind. The stimulus package, not stimulus package, the bailout proposal being bantered around in Congress right now. Is it daunting thinking that, hey, I could be one of these people trying to figure out this mess a year from now?
It's no more daunting than everyone looking at their pension right now or looking at their Roth IRA and seeing the numbers crumble, because we may be on the verge of not just a recession, but a depression. I mean, people are using the D word now. If you think that house foreclosures are scary, wait till we get to bank foreclosures. So we are at a very scary moment in the economy. And the prospect of being one of the people helping with it, compared to what's going on up there, I feel like I'm bound to be able to do a better job, because now, these guys helped get us into the mess, and now they don't seem to have a clue how to get us out of it.
And quite honestly, and Jane and I have had this discussion before, you know, I don't think anybody expects every single person up there to understand all the details about the level of economics we're discussing right now. You know, it's you really have to rely a lot on some experts and everything else. But looking at the bailout proposal that's in front of Congress right now, what do you think of that?
Well, look, I don't think you spend a single dollar on the bailout until you do the work to cure the underlying problem. But we only have a couple of weeks to make those cures, so you've got to put the principles in place. I think about this like my work in Afghanistan. Right now, if we sent more troops in without changing our political alignment with the warlords, it would just be putting fuel on the fire. But if you change the political dynamics, more U.S. troops becomes a key part of the solution. Same thing is true here. There needs to be an influx of credit into the markets right now. But if we do it without curing the underlying problems, you don't deal with the investor confidence issues or the debt equity issues that are crucial. What most people, I think this is primarily about is people taking subprime mortgages that they shouldn't take. But it has a lot more to do now with the people on Wall Street who knew exactly what they were doing and went from 10-to-1 debt equity to 30-to-1, and with the derivatives market got up to 100-to-1. If we don't address those underlying issues, we're not going to see that kind of sustained stability in the market from this. So we've got to do it. We've got to do something. But it sure as heck needs to be something that follows us curing the underlying problems of no accountability, no regulation. And we need to make sure that the middle class taxpayer that's being asked to foot the bill gets some sort of equity or upside from this down the road.
Now, here's one of the things that's kind of jumped out at me is because, you know, we're talking, first of all, obviously there are some underlying problems. There is a time crunch here. Is there enough time to really analyze the situation?
It would be amazing to me to get this done in 2 weeks.
Realistically, are we going to be able to cure the underpinnings of a large part of our economy, in the next 2 weeks?
Well, I'll tell you, I mean, we've been down this road before with this administration when they say, just give us all the mandate we need and we'll tell you how we're going to do it later. I think the parallels to the Iraq War are legitimate. I think Secretary Paulson is much more competent than, say, Rumsfeld was to run the war. But still, what we're hearing too much of is, we honestly don't know how we're going to do this yet, but give us a lot of money and a blank check and we'll see where we can get to. I think what we're seeing is, if you take a deep breath, and we spend a little bit of time to make sure we get it right, that's more important than getting it done in 24 hours. But we're also looking at a situation where we probably don't have a couple of months. You were saying, I might be dealing with this when I get up there in January. That's true, but really I think we need to make some serious steps on this before then. Again, we're looking at locking up of credit markets in a way that could be very, very scary for the economy. So again, the key is we've got to understand that this had to do with the fact that we were letting the foxes guard the hen house, and we need to make sure that our response isn't to just throw more chickens at the foxes.
Now, do you feel that there should be more regulation, and if so, where would you see more regulatory activity?
I do think this was a direct outgrowth of a lack of accountability. It can even be self-regulation or it can be government regulation, but there has to be a system in place. What investors need is predictability, and predictability requires there being rules in place. And what you've seen is both parties really turning the other way and allowing that to happen. When we bailed out long-term capital 10 years ago as a government, we knew this problem was there, but we threw a bunch of money in and papered over the problem. We didn't do anything to deal with the debt equity ratios. Again, the subprimes are a small part of it compared to this very high stakes poker game that people on Wall Street have been playing with our pension funds. And that's not acceptable. And what they're saying is essentially heads, Wall Street wins, tails, Main Street loses. And it can't be a situation where we have to privatize all the gains and then socialize the risk and expect to bail them out. Some people are going to lose some money in this meltdown. Right now, there have not been the huge losses on Wall Street. It's a question of whether we're going to see that going forward. A lot of funds and other things are neutral for the year. They've been up in a huge way before. Before we tack $1 trillion onto the national debt and do it on the backs of middle-class taxpayers, I think it's fair to say, well, let's make sure that we have a crisis here, that we have a solution, and we go forward, and that we see some way for an upside down the road. That's how you solve problems.
Now, I think there are a lot of people, obviously, disenfranchised, don't feel like government is working, feel, you know what I mean, just not trustworthy.
Sure.
And if you look just 2 weeks ago, there was this story when the gas prices were spiking and all of that stuff, where the Interior Department did that investigation and they found that a number of the people overseeing the gas industry, the regulators, were taking bribes. They were having affairs with members. You know, it was just, there was corruption in there. So I'm like, 2 weeks later, and now we're talking about the government overseeing all the finances. You know what I mean? It's like,
that's right.
So that seems like a problem as well.
Well, I think that this is a typical but extreme example of how corrupt Washington is. I mean, Congressman Goode has taken, the guy I'm running against, has taken over $200,000 from the banking industry and the mortgage companies and the insurance companies that now want a $1 trillion bailout. It is not a coincidence that so many Republicans and Democrats took tons of money from these interest groups and then didn't do their homework. We have had people acting like teenage children up in Washington, you know, acting like there's no problem, saying it wasn't me, instead of saying it. I haven't seen, I think, a single person in Washington step up and say, you know what, this was partly my fault. I should have been on this. We knew that this was happening. Not one. We haven't seen that across the board. So what I think people are frustrated by is that the whole gang in Washington, not just Congressman Goode, but the whole gang are corrupt and taking money from these groups. And who's paying for it? We are, as the taxpayer. We are sick and tired of these sort of quick fixes. People want the long-term solutions. How do you balance the budget? How do you get off foreign oil? How do you beat Islamist extremism? Not how do you survive the next news cycle?
Right, because it seems like something new is popping up all the time. You know, some problems. We're putting out fires instead of looking to the future and actually changing America, you know?
That's right. These are the challenges of our time. Previous generations had to storm the beaches of Normandy. We're being asked to compete in a global economy and deal with balancing the budget and Islamist extremism. These are problems we can solve, but we're not going to solve them with the kind of partisanship and small-mindedness we've seen in Washington. They keep pushing the problem down the road, whether it's we're not going to invest in infrastructure till the bridges fall apart, we're not going to invest in schools until we're getting crushed by other countries. We're not going to invest in clean energy until we hit $4 a gallon. It's all crisis-driven. That's not how mature adults act. We need the kind of people who go up there and say, look, this is what we got to do. There's going to be some shared sacrifice. Wall Street's going to feel a little bit of that pain the middle class has been feeling for a while, and we're going to move forward.
We're going to talk a little bit about healthcare, if you like. When we get back, we have to take a break. Our guest candidate, Tom Perriello.
News Radio 1070, WINA Morning News with Rick and Jane.
Seaver holds a record for the most career receptions and receiving yards in UVA history.